This is the Die Hard.
Sale winds, he fires.
Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Broadcasting live from Boston at Media Row for the 124th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. Here's your hosts, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, and East Coast sports investors, Jeff Dawson.
Dude said my name.
And welcome in, Diehard Nation, hour number two, special edition. Thank you very much for tuning in. Again, really, really cool. Where Rob Gronkowski's coming by? I don't know. Probably not by our studio, but
I'll get him.
He's coming by soon. Is he USAA yet? Did they let him?
I don't know. Apparently, he's here, right?
I don't know if they allowed him in yet, though. I think you have to be like serve in the military.
This might be
he keeps trying that.
This
guy.
Might be part of his process to get in.
It could be. It's like you
got a bowl. Yeah,
it's like you always trying to get into like certain circles.
I'm still trying
of life.
To get there, unsuccessfully. You know, Gronk's got a bowl game named after him, which is pretty cool.
He
can't
does.
Get anything better than that.
Oh,
you know, the L.A. Bowl. UCLA and Boise State. Your
love,
Boise State team.
Love that Boise State
bring
Broncos team.
Yep. It's funny because in the
matchup. Is Chippa happy that he gets Boise State?
Yeah, I don't know if he's happy about getting Boise State, but he's happy to be in a bowl. And the interesting part is that Chippa obviously runs the offense.
For UCLA Bruins.
UCLA. Yep. And Greg Chinanda is the defensive coordinator for Boise State. Chip hired Chins and worked for him in Oregon.
Did he work in Nebraska?
Yeah. In Philadelphia in the Eagles with Chip.
Okay.
So, be a good old school matchup that way. Chins is a great guy. Should probably try to get him on.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to talk some more Army-Navy, and at the bottom of the hour, we're going to chat with Ross Tucker, Princeton guy, Linehan, so you can show him your Harvard ring.
That's right.
Former NFL player. He played for Washington, Dallas, Buffalo, cup of coffee in New England and Cleveland. Works for CBS, Westwood One. At Russ Tucker Pod is his podcast. So we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour and more Army Navy stuff. But I was mentioning a little while ago, guys, this whole winter meetings, hot stove, free agent, MLB, the Yankees pulling a deal, getting Juan Soto from the Padres in a 7-player deal. Obviously, Yankees Sox in a trade that's very rare. I know they've had like 14 of them over the last like 30 years or something stupid. But getting Alex Verdugo, who was the key piece in the Mookie Betts deal. So I'm not happy because he was supposed to be at least something in the Mookie Betts deal. And they get, you know, three bags of donuts in return. But now I'm hearing Shohei Ohtani to Toronto. Linehan, what am I missing here?
I don't know. I guess maybe the Canadian dollar rate's more than the American dollar rate. I don't know how true it is. That, you know, you never know what's going
to
happen.
Don't you
I'd
feel like he's going to the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think he's going to stay on the West Coast. I don't think that there was ever any interest in Boston here for him. They're full on for the other, not only the other Japanese pitcher, but the
Yamamoto.
There's a second one that just got
really
posted.
All right.
Sneaky good that I could see the Sox maybe landing him. You know,
sneaky good,
kind
of like you.
It's like duh. I think that, you know, Verdugo was just time to go. He wasn't a good fit here. He didn't get along with Cora. It's a disgrace what they got for Mookie Betts. I agree 100%.
Rob Gronkowski is in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
And that I also think that he's going to hit a lot of home runs in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. I find it fascinating. $500-600 million it's going to cost for Ohtani.
Yep.
He's not going to be able to pitch because of the Tommy John surgery. Is it 1 year?
1 year.
He can hit, and he's one of the faces of baseball.
The problem is the Red Sox have about 90 H's.
But is this great for MLB that he's going to Toronto? Is this a good thing? Because I don't see it as a good thing.
I can't see. I've said all along Dodgers. I think everyone else has. They're on Twitter. There's a plane ticket supposedly with him leaving the left coast and heading to Toronto today.
Isn't it cold in Toronto?
I'll use the word shocked if he ends up in Toronto. Now, the tax purposes in California can't be great, but I don't think they're any better in Toronto either. But the American League East, they add Soto. They could add Shohei. The price of Yamamoto goes from $250 million now to $300 if the Sox want it.
Don't forget about Craig Kimbrell to Baltimore, that huge signing.
Yes.
Talk about a guy that's just hung on, huh?
Holy moly. How does this guy continue to get contracts?
I mean, you know, I think the one thing about closers is that you when you watch them up close, you think they stink. But then when you look around the league, they're all the same way. You know what I mean? Just getting it done. But I think that the Red Sox will spend $1 below the tax level, the salary cap.
So you think they're going to spend?
I think they're absolutely going to spend. I'm not sure where. I don't think they'll spend over the cap, but I think they will come as close as possible.
Why do you believe that? I don't want to ask about sources.
Yeah, I may have a couple.
I'm just curious, and do you really believe that?
I do absolutely believe that. I believe that they will spend. They've never been that far under the cap by any stretch of imagination. They just haven't gone over it. Mm-hmm. I think that the money that they lost this year, some openings there that, you know, somebody got to be there to give the money to, obviously. But I think that there's a plan for them to spend, like, almost literally to the dollar of the cap, but they have no intention of going over.
Mookie Betts gets traded to the Dodgers years ago. They don't want to bring him back, or he doesn't want to sign, or whoever you believe.
Biggest mistake.
Huge mistake. They bring in Verdugo, who was supposed to be the key piece in that trade, and he didn't work out here, Mark. And you know people at Fenway, and I'm not saying, like, inside information, tell us a source. But I was texting with Sean McAdam, who covers the Red Sox today.
He knows a lot more than me.
Was Verdugo really not liked in that clubhouse? Because I find it hard to believe.
No, I don't think he wasn't liked. I think that he was actually kind of liked. He was kind of a goofy guy, you know what I mean? But showing up late, not being on time.
He had issues, and the issues with the manager.
Like that.
Those were public.
Yep.
We know that.
You know, a couple of other things of his lifestyle or habits or whatever that nothing bad.
Kind of like you.
That way, but... Okay. I mean, between him and Jeter Downs was the other player that they raved about when they got him, who I don't think he's even playing in Worcester anymore in AAA. Ugh. And they got the catcher, Connor Wong, who's still going to be a factor, but, you know, he's a serviceable player, but you lost Mookie Betts.
When it's all said and done, you have that. You have Connor Wong to show for Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
cool. Well, now you can add the three guys they got from the Yankees.
The three Stooges,
I think, you got to hold out hope that, you know, I mean...
You hope the Fitz kid's going to be what people say he's going to.
Dick Fitz.
Yes.
Exactly. It was my nickname in high school. But I think that there's a possibility that... you know, you never know with these kids. You know, now it's all, you know, obviously the analytics aspect of it. And I think that there's pieces of the puzzle that they're working on to... You know, I think the Ohtani's got to go first to have the shoe to drop. And then Yamamoto's got to go to set the market.
If the Red Sox don't land Yamamoto, that's a huge PR blow, is it not? Because they're obviously under scrutiny right now with the Red Sox Nation, and they need Yamamoto. They need that signing.
Yeah, I think that there's just too much competition and too much money, and I think that somebody's going to throw some ridiculous amount of money at him. Mm-hmm. That I think that's where the Red Sox, I should have done my homework and known the name of the second guy that just got posted, but I think that could be in play. I think that the one thing the Red Sox and people are underestimating is some potential trades. I think that when you saw what the Yankees just unloaded, is what the Red Sox fans, I think, have been clamoring for Hein Bloom to do. We don't care that you've got four top prospects in Worcester. You know what I mean? Move them on, and I think we might see that. I think you might see a Jared Durango. I think you might see a Nick York, who's one of their top, you know, prospects in the minor. You know, make some moves to, you know, a team like Milwaukee or something that's trying to unload some payroll and pick up some pitching. I mean, the bottom line is, in baseball, you sign a couple of pitches, you're right back in it.
Did you like the Craig Breslow signing, bringing him in and run the organization?
Yeah,
it seemed kind of odd in how it all transpired.
From what I hear, he's a pretty good fit as far as...
analytics, he's a nerd.
Yeah, but he also played in the major leagues, and he knows his pitching. So, I mean, that's what it's all about these days, to see what the deal is. The interesting part to me is people talking about how Cora's running the show. Cora's on a lame duck contract. He's got 1 year left, and there's been no mention of him getting an extension, which is very rare in baseball or any sport, to have your coach, coach/manager coaching in the last year of their deal. So if Cora's got a lot of juice, my guess is he'd have a few more years under its contract.
All right. Jeff, what do you think? Yankees getting Verdugo. Again, trash from Boston, apparently. I still think he's got a lot of years left and a lot of, ball left.
Have you seen right field at Yankee Stadium?
and they bring in Juan Soto, who struggled in San Diego, and it didn't work out with that lineup of the killer lineup that San Diego had. So they needed to move on from Juan Soto in the 7-trade deal. But the Yankees get those two guys. They were struggling last year. They needed to do something. They obviously made a splash, and Yankee fans are going to be thrilled.
Yeah, and when I heard the Verdugo trade, I initially thought he would be a piece – in the Juan Soto trade, and he was not.
Oh,
Which, again, Cody Bellinger, who's a free agent, was
former
also...
Dodger?
Yes, was also, and Cub, was now linked to the Yankees now with Verdugo staying and the addition of Soto. He won't be a part. Yankees Cy Young winner Gerrit Cole, they spent a boatload of money on Rodon, who was not healthy last year. Yep. So if he gets healthy, and rumor has it they're a big player in the Yamamoto Stakes as well. So it just the building of what's going on in the East. You still have Baltimore. You still have the Jays. And as a Red Sox,
don't forget
Sox
about
man,
the Rays that continually win every year with nobody.
Don't forget about St. Louis. Don't forget about the Cubs. This kid's going to have...
Oh, Yamamoto you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be ridiculous money out of nowhere. And they talk about how they didn't want anything publicized about negotiations. So, I mean, I just think that he's going to, you know... He's going to get rich, obviously, but, I mean...
Like
yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what comes to mind. By the way, you got $20. I think that it comes down to where does he want to live? You know what I mean? And I think that the
well,
West Coast...
Didn't Shohei like Boston? He said he loved Fenway in Boston. Now he's going to go to Toronto?
He said he loved Boston. PR. He also said he hates the cold.
Yeah.
You know, he also said... And I think that the lifestyle... I think, like, I agree with what Jeff said about Ohtani staying... out in L.A., I think, A, it's closer. It's a six-hour shorter flight to go home. B, it's just a different life out there. I mean, you know, nobody bothers you.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Star Market here and get yelled at for sucking.
Let's take another break here. It is the Diehards broadcasting from Military Alley, Army-Navy Media Row to the 124th installment of America's Game. The Commander-in-Chief's Trophy up for grabs tomorrow at Gillette Stadium. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Diehards. It is the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network, broadcasting live from Boston at Media Row for the 124th Army Navy game presented by USAA. Now back to your hosts, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, and East Coast sports investors, Jeff Dawson.
And welcome back, Die Hard Nation. Excited to be here, Military Alley. We'll have some more guests coming up shortly. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by a special guest here on the Progressive Insurance guest section. See what I did there? And, you know, taking a look at this game, guys, obviously, I mentioned earlier, the college football playoffs are set. A lot of controversy surrounding Florida State getting in the Final Four, whether or not Alabama should have got in, SEC champs beating Georgia by three. I believe it's more of a travesty that Georgia's not in, being winning 29 straight games and two-time national champs. That's another story for another day. But that is set. The bowl games are set. They start December 16th. There's 41 bowl games. Which, that's a lot for you, Jeff, East Coast sports investors to gamble on. And then you have the...
I'm going to bet on 42.
You have the 42nd game. It's the championship game, January 8th, which is Elvis's birthday. And who's going to play for that championship? A lot of excitement level for college football bowl game. What players are going to play? What players are not going to play? Who's going in the transfer portal? Who's going into the draft? All this crazy stuff. But the only game that matters is tomorrow. Gillette Stadium, first time in New England, the Army-Navy game going to be played. And I know Kraft has been pining for this game for a long, long time. He's wanted it here. Pretty cool, sellout crowd, toughest ticket to get, tougher than Patriots, AFC Championship games, playoff games, tougher than T-Sizzle. That's Taylor Swift, Linehan.
Tell her to stop calling me, too.
It's the place to be tomorrow. We're going to be there at the game, and we're all excited about that. Let's talk about some of these numbers and what's transpired over the years. Navy, we mentioned earlier, 15-5 in the last 20 games, so Navy has pretty much owned this rivalry. Army did win last year 20-17 in a close game. Army is favored by 3. Some books have it at 2.5 for the favorites and the gambling people out there. And the total points scored is 27.5, which is crazy low. But these guys don't throw the ball. They run the ball. They grind the ball. They run the clock. That's what they do. Excited, guys? Linehan, I know you have a book full of stats over there. What do you got, man?
That's how I roll. Well, the biggest one I already said is that when you add up the total pass attempts from both schools, it's 319. And Colorado's quarterback threw 431.
So you're talking
himself.
Total for the year.
Yep.
That is insane.
Yep. I mean, it's old school football. You look at their quarterbacks, not only passing, but in most cases are their top rushers on both teams.
Each quarterback threw for like 800 yards to Kip Bailey, and the other kid 700 yards. That's it for the whole year.
Bailey was 53 for 106. Levante was 40 for 75 for the year. This game's I've watched some Pac-12 games where they've thrown more than 75 passes in one game by a quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, just line them up and go get them. No surprises, I guess. I'd like to know what Jeff thinks gambling-wise, because that's the most important thing in life, right, Pep?
I don't know about that. But
top five?
You know, listening to Keenan, was it Alex?
Alex Moore, yeah.
You know, and Pep, you play football. Rivalries. You throw the records out.
Yeah, it's different.
And you just...
No, that Canton-Stoughton rivalry was something else.
It's Barnstable-Falmouth here. And
Stoughton must have been intimidated if the game was in Canton.
Hey, that was a long time ago. It's a little different now.
A couple things here. Everyone's on Army. The real opening number was a pick'em.
Is everybody on Army because they saw Navy open up the season in Ireland against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame waxed them 42-3? Is that a big reason?
Oh, it's Notre Dame.
I mean,
you know, people forget about that.
I didn't.
Well, of course, because
I had the Irish.
Because you bet Navy.
I mean, we have an under-over of 40 and a half of how many bowl games of the 41 that you will wager on. So we'll get.
What is it?
I took the over.
All right, cool.
But it's off the board.
But in this game here, again, it was a pick 'em. Now 2.5, 3 in some shops. I talked to you on Tuesday about this. Was leaning Army. I would play the money line. Obviously, I wouldn't leave the 2.5 in a 27.5 point under-over. But we were looking at the weather. It's going to be about 50 degrees. It's not going to be, you know, 28 sleet and snow.
So we don't have to buy sweatshirts, Linehan, for this one?
You don't.
So there actually could be some scoring, just like last night.
Yep.
You know what, too? You'd also like to think that in a game like this, Survivor, where you obviously that, and something you just don't see in this game, but like you'll see in bowl games, especially with the 3 weeks they've had to prepare or whatever this way, little, you know, trickeration, little magic. Let's run something.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Just try to generate. I mean, especially in a game like this where, you know, one touchdown could be the difference. You know, I mean, it's just old school, big, strong kids beating each other up.
I know we're talking about the football and the X's and O's, but how about the Jimmys and the Joes? Because, you know, listening to Alex Moore talk, and he's like, these kids have already been there, received their assignments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, to me, it still comes back to that. I love sports, and I love football, and I love the action. But these guys have received their assignments to go protect us.
Yeah.
It's baffling to me.
And again, I mean, I asked those two guys, and same question is that I think it's a little different than maybe even, 5 years ago when, you know, you weren't really, the world wasn't as crazy with, you know, Russia, Ukraine, the Middle East, all this, you know, in all likelihood, you're going to be, you know, back maybe 5 years ago without any, you know, real war stuff going on, you might get a commission to Europe or, yep, you know, I mean, still working hard and protecting America, but now, God, who knows? I mean, you, like I said, you're going to have a gun in your hand.
Yeah, I have a cousin, Timothy Souza.
What's up, Timmy?
From Bridgewater.
What's up, Souza?
Will not be back for Christmas Eve or Christmas or the holidays on a boat and no communication. We don't know where, but he's on a boat somewhere.
I'm guessing it ain't the Caribbean.
Hey, we were talking baseball early in the Sox and Yankees, and what an unbelievable rivalry that is, and it's still a big one in baseball. And, you know, you have the Cubs in St. Louis, and then you talk about, you know, other big rivalries, North Carolina, Duke, and college basketball, and college football. There's obviously Ohio State, Michigan. This rivalry has
BUBC?
To be BUBC, of course. the two teams tied for second in the country
crazy,
right now.
Huh?
It's going to be a fun ride, isn't it? But anyway, you talk about greatest rivalries. This has to be in that discussion, no?
It's the game.
America's well, Harvard game. Yale's the game. Don't piss off
yeah.
the Harvard people.
True.
But this game's much more important.
We don't want to upset Matt Burke.
No, exactly.
He's a lot bigger than us.
Right.
But it has to be like, and again, I know it's not, and I'm being facetious here. I know when you're talking about great rivalries in sports and all those ones I mentioned, you don't go, hey, and Army-Navy. But I believe it should be included in there. It's that special and it's that unique and different.
And, Pep, we've been fortunate enough to be part of the pageantry of it in the past when we were in Philadelphia. Just looking at the
itinerary.
You like that one? That's a Boston Latin word. Not a UNH word. But I think that when you just looked at the itinerary for a 3 o'clock kickoff at 12:30, you want to be in the building because we both discussed how impressive and amazing. We've never forgotten the marching in of the cadets and the plebes to come in the stadium.
So
I think Foxborough's concession sales might pump up higher than the tailgating out front.
Because
if you made the effort to be down to this game, you're a dope if you're not in there at 12:30.
Now, the I live in Canton. And
watch out. Buckle up.
Shut up. It's about 20 minutes away from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Yeah, you can cross the border.
And people have been talking about hearing the helicopters fly by.
They do
like a big flyby.
Right,
I don't know what those things are called. But
big helicopters.
Big helicopters. And people have been talking about that for weeks, going, hey, does anyone know what those helicopters are? And they're preparing the flyover for Gillette Stadium.
They're right in Norwood, Massachusetts.
And that's really cool.
Landing the plane, so to speak. Yeah, I mean, everything is cool. Just watch. I mean, I think in a lot of respects, the game's probably...
It's cool that you're doing a radio show, and 10 feet from you, Gronkowski's doing one.
I might have to knock him out today.
He looks a lot bigger than you.
I think he still owes me money.
Yeah? USAA.
Yeah, exactly, huh?
He still looks like he could play.
Him and Zolak does, too, but Zolak's a little bulked up, but...
Zolak looks a little chubby, though.
Yeah, I don't know. He can probably still fling it, though, I think. But I think that in a lot of respects, the game... can be secondary, as stupid as it sounds, especially in the second half.
You're right.
I'm watching it in my kitchen.
Yeah. So we're not carpooling, is that what you're saying?
I think I might take one of those helicopters home. I can almost walk from Norwood.
Lenny, I'm thrilled it's going to be 50 degrees.
I was
fearing it was going to be freezing like the last game.
I don't do well in cold.
How do you think that Fenway Bowl is going to be? You think it'll be cold there?
I was there last year for it. It was a chilly, same as this year. Thursday morning at 11 a.m. BC gets a good deal.
BC's going to be thrilled they don't have to travel.
Yeah, sometimes some teams get to fly to Florida. Some teams get to take the green line on the MBTA in Massachusetts.
Hey, SMU kind of drew the short straw, did they not?
They absolutely did. From what I understand,
they got screwed. And it's cool that for them to come to Fenway, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, SMU and Liberty, something happened where Liberty got the bigger bowl game. And
what happens is it's almost like a draft process. There's leagues that are associated with certain bowls that you have to pick somebody from. I know that I don't think BC wanted to come to Fenway, and I don't think Fenway wanted BC. As much as they'll get the crowd boost, they won't get the economic impact of a team coming in from somewhere else in hotels and restaurants and that kind of stuff, which is part of the bowl setup. I think that Fenway was kind of hoping for Memphis. That was their pick. But I think the Liberty Bowl in Memphis was supposed to get an SEC team. There wasn't one there, so they got Memphis, and everybody dropped down a slot in the drafting process.
Gotcha. Well, maybe we'll do a show from there. You're just like Radio Mark guy.
And I know a guy.
All right. Let's take a break. When we return, former NFL player, now with CBS Westwood One, Ross Tucker will join the diehards. Keep it right here. Army, Navy.
Is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network, broadcasting live from Boston at Media Row for the 124th Army Navy game presented by USAA. Here's Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, and East Coast sports investors Jeff Dawson.
And welcome back, Diehard Nation. Again, thanks so much for tuning into the special edition here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line once again. Former NFL offensive lineman Ross Tucker calling the game. CBS analyst called the Army-Navy game. Westwood won 8th straight year starting in 2016. Hey, Ross, how are you, buddy?
I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. I see you rocking that Princeton shirt over there.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple reasons why I do that. Number one, they send me so much free stuff. And I think it's because, I think it's because they, you know, I do all this media stuff, and it's
they want the brand out there.
Correct, right? It's very
Plus
smart
it's nice
of them.
Stuff.
It's really nice stuff. Really nice stuff. And so it's funny too because like I live in central Pennsylvania, so like I'll drop my kids off at school or pick them up. It's like a nice private school, right? And all these guys are like lawyers or doctors or whatever. And you know that they applied probably to Harvard or Princeton and didn't get in. And
same I got, with UNH.
And I got into both because of football, and it's just amazing. Like, they're wearing a suit and tie. I literally am wearing flip-flops, Prince of Football mesh pants
and a
T-shirt, and they're looking at me like, this freaking guy.
Hey, you're a seven-year veteran in the NFL. You played for Washington, the Cowboys, Bills, and Patriots. I'm always curious. Talk about those four fan bases. Which one do you like the most, and which one sucked?
I like the Bills fans the most.
All right, Bills Mafia.
Well, I guess I just liked my Bills experience the most.
All right.
Just incredible. Like, and in fairness, it's hard because that's where I played the most.
Okay.
That's where I made the most money. And so, like, that's the one city where people are like.
Stands out.
Yeah, they're like, Ross, really appreciate what you did for us, man. You know what I mean? Like, so it's a little bit different. But it's not a big town. Yep. And they're, like, so appreciative that they even have an NFL team. It's just different, right?
Yep.
Cowboys was a weird experience because it was 2002. I was starting at left guard. We were 5-11, right? We would go to, like, a hotel. There'd be, like, 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
Like, now, we still had Emmitt Smith on the team, but Aikman wasn't there anymore. Michael Irvin wasn't there anymore. But, like, they treated us like we were the Beatles.
Yep.
Really?
And I remember thinking,
Pepe
like,
gets that wherever he goes.
And I remember thinking, like, do they know we stink? Like, we are not good.
Were you there when Emmitt Smith broke the rushing record?
My first game.
All right. Wow. So I was actually in that stadium. I went to that game. I brought a client to that. So I was in that stadium.
That's amazing.
Emmitt Smith broke the rushing
record.
So
what's funny about that.
Were you drunk?
2002.
Yep.
I got cut by Washington that week. Spurrier cut me.
We hate him.
I get picked up the next day on waivers.
Yep.
By the Cowboys. So I go from being a Redskin to
That's
a Cowboy
crazy.
In a day for a guy that grew up outside of Philly as an Eagles fan. Okay? And I go from being
the
a Redskin to a Cowboy in a day.
No.
So then I go and, you know, my first game there, I'm walking out of the tunnel to go out to the field and I just happen to be behind Emmitt. I didn't do it on purpose, right?
Emmitt probably did it on purpose.
Well, here's the thing. There's like 20 cameras as he's walking down the tunnel.
You thought they were all on you?
Because they knew like he might break the record that day. And I remember thinking like, wow, man, being a Cowboy is different. Like there's like 20 cameras as you're just walking to the field. Like this is crazy.
Hey, Ross, talk a little bit about your media experience previously, Sports Illustrated, The Athletic, how much that industry market has changed, especially you see the Sports Illustrated saying they've used AI stuff and everything like that. How much is just this – you know, media kind of faded from when you were there?
Well, everything's changed
a
lot.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I was way ahead of the game with the podcast.
Yep.
And I just kind of lucked out. You know, people was like, dude, how do you have such a popular podcast, Ross Tucker Football Podcast? I'll tell you how. When I was in maybe 2008 or 9, no, 2009, ESPN hired me away from Sports Illustrated to pay me a bunch more money to write for them. I said, okay. And they go, also, Ross, will you host our daily football podcast? And I was like, sure, I would love to. Literally had no idea what a podcast was. Had never heard of it. I just knew they were going to pay me money to talk about football. So for 3 years, I'm on this ESPN podcast, and it's big and it's growing, and we got big sponsors and everything. Well, then I thought to myself, well, what if I did this on my own?
There you go.
So I went on my own. I went on my own.
At Ross Tucker Pod.
Yeah, I went on my own Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can check me out at Ross Tucker NFL on social. And I brought a bunch of the listeners over, and I brought the sponsors over. So I had like a profitable podcast business in 2012 the first day.
Nice.
The first day. So that was kind of just lucky, though, right? Like ESPN asking me to do something. I didn't even know what it was. So
You figured it out pretty quick, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, the deal is now, man, social media is big. A lot of people just don't even want to go other places for their content. They just want to. I do a minute every morning on the Eagles.
It's assigned listening now.
Yeah.
People go and they know what they want to listen to and they know where to find it.
Yeah. There's no question. So, and then the writing part of it, I'm actually writing now for the 33rd team, which I enjoy. It's Mike Tannenbaum and Joe Banner, you know, former executives. It's so funny. I think I write primarily because it's the only time my parents feel like I'm using the Princeton degree. And it's the only
It's
the only time I feel like I'm using the Princeton degree. And, you know, I guess I just think it's like a branding. It's kind of like the same thing with me wearing this Princeton thing here, right? Like, what do people know about me? I was a very average player. I played 7 years, five teams, started 25 games, played in 45. Like, none of that stands out. What's unique is like, oh, he's the guy in the NFL that went to Princeton.
Well,
Or had a lot of success off the field, too.
Oh, thank you.
Like Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I wish I had that much success off the field.
Not to piss you off, but I do some Harvard football radio, and I just wanted to show you my championship ring from 2015.
That was the last one they had till this year,
yeah,
isn't
I know,
it?
Yeah. I'm in line for another one.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Nice of Coach Murphy to hook up a nitwit like me.
You know what's funny? They, because I'm like a distinguished alum or they've sent me a couple of these.
Really?
Because Princeton has been winning a lot
lately.
I was
going to say, you got one this year coming, maybe. Harvard, Dartmouth, and Princeton.
No, Harvard, Dartmouth, Yale.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Princeton lost. Princeton beat Harvard.
Yeah, beat Yale. They
lost to Yale. They beat Penn. But, but it's like, when do I wear that? I didn't earn
it. I know.
It.
I wore it here. I had to go look.
No, that's a good time. This, you know what?
I was hoping I ran into a Princeton guy.
This is a good time to wear it. It's funny. I almost went to Harvard. It was real close between Princeton and Harvard. But, like, at the time.
Same with me.
You went to Harvard on the red line.
I went to Curry College. Close enough.
Hey, let's talk, real quick about your Army-Navy calling experience over the years.
Yeah.
You know how cool that's been. And
you guys will love this. People, I grew up outside of Philly. I never went to the Army-Navy game. I don't know why. Yep. I just never went. And people always say, you got to go. So Westwood One wants me to do the sideline for Army-Navy. I said, okay, let's do it. 2016, it's in Baltimore. After the game, I'm supposed to interview the winning coach, okay? Well, that was the year that Army won for the first time in 15 years.
Yep.
So all the cadets stormed the field.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go and you look, this is classified, but I am one of the only civilians in the history of our country to know what it's like to be under attack from ground infantry on our own soil. I'm on the sideline. And
you didn't have any security guards around you?
4,000 cadets, and my producer's in my ear, find the coach, I'm trying not to die. I'm about to get run over by the Army, literally the Army. What are you guys talking about? And then so finally they're like, you got to get somebody. We had a sponsored post-game interview.
Yeah.
So you got to get somebody. So I finally see the number. It's like a D lineman. He was a captain. I think his kid's name was like Ralph Voigt or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ralph, you just beat Navy for the first time in 15 years. How does it feel? And he goes, I'm just so effing proud of these guys.
And then did you drop the sponsor name after that?
No, and then I ask him two more questions, and I send it back, and the play-by-play guy's like, we'd like to apologize for the language. As you might imagine, he's a young man, and it's a very emotional situation. I remember sitting there thinking, if there's a single person that has an issue with a guy in the Army – dropping an F-bomb after they just beat Navy, then
F-bomb
that person
–
exactly.
I'd like to know that guy from the FCC going after him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, man, best, most unique holiday gift out there. Talk about this, myfrontpagestory.com. What's that all
well,
about?
Well, so, dude, it's, a buddy of mine started the company. It's unbelievable. Because now – I don't know about you guys. I have no idea what to get my wife. She, like, literally emails me a link to a website. So I just put the credit card information in for her. I mean, that's how sad we are at this point. Do something different. Do something unique. You talk to one of these writers, okay, for 10 minutes while you're driving home from work. Tell them how great your wife is, or maybe your mom or whatever, whoever you want to get it for. But a lot of people do it for their wife. They write this story. It looks like it's on the cover of the Boston Globe. It's beautiful. It's framed pictures of her and you and the kids. And I've seen this. When they open it up, right, and it's like, it's awesome to be able to say, I had a story written about you, babe.
Myfrontpagestory.com is the website. Check it out. Ross, how do people find you?
At Ross Tucker NFL on social media is the best way.
Thank you very much, pal. Enjoy the
game. Great being with you guys. All right.
Thanks, Ross. Cheers,
Ross,
man.
Tucker.
Go Tigers. Kinda.
You're listening to the Diehards. We'll wrap things up coming up next. Special edition. Keep it right here. Army-Navy 2023.
The Diehards continue now on the Sports Map Radio Network, broadcasting live from Boston at Media Row for the 124th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. Here's Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, and East Coast sports investors Jeff Dawson.
And welcome back to the Diehards. Joining us now, West Point PR guy, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Kelly. How are you, sir?
I am fabulous. It is great to be in Boston for Army-Navy.
A little different feel in Boston, is it not?
It really is. So this is my first Army-Navy as the public affairs director there at West Point. Obviously, I've done it many times as a fan. And I got to say, Boston has rolled out the red carpet for us. This is always a great game, no matter where it is. But it is really something to be here in Boston.
Talk a little bit about what your job entails for a game like this. I can only imagine the requests and the ridiculous questions from people like us that come at you.
Well, more than anything, my job is to tell everyone, you know, about West Point and what we do and our 4,400 cadets, some of whom are the football team that you'll see on TV on Saturday, but all of whom are some of the best students in America and training to become officers in the United States Army, which is what they'll do when they graduate from West Point.
We talked about their assignments earlier, and you know, a lot of college football players, they're thinking about, you know, hitting the transfer portal, what team they're going to, maybe the draft, or what they're doing next. These guys are assigned to protect the country, and it's a little different. Can you tell us what some of the places these guys are going to be going?
So anywhere the Army goes, these young men and the young women who graduate from West Point may be assigned there. Right now, we have soldiers engaged around the world. We have troops in Europe, in Asia, South Korea, all over the place. And you know, we have our bases here in the United States that many of them will start out at. And as their units rotate over on these various missions in support of the country, our graduates are out there leading troops as part of those forces.
Tell us how that selection process works. Is it like the students bid on something? I mean, is it like the draft? I want to go here, not there, or a selection process? Or how does that take place?
That almost, you know, comparing it to the draft is almost a fair comparison.
Yeah, you can have that.
I'll take that. I'm going to take that back with me for sure. So it's based on their class rank, which is academics, physical, and military, the pillars of development there.
All right.
And so the Army gives us so many slots for the different branches of the Army, the infantry, the artillery, aviation, cyber, medical service, so on and so forth. And they have to go through some interviews and sort of lay out why they want to do which branch they want to do. And then based on that and their class rank, we have a branch night. It was actually a week ago, and all the graduating cadets will go into the auditorium, and they're literally given an envelope.
Wow, huh?
And they don't look
like the coolest
it.
Game show ever.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Like, what are you going to do for the next 5 years of your
life? Is
there
a top choice for most? Does everybody want it? I mean, how does that work?
I would say everyone's a little bit different. You know,
no one's stationed at Disney World, are they?
No. If I could have figured that one out, I'd be down there right now. So,
well, you're with Goofy, so it's the same thing.
Exactly, yeah.
We've talked earlier with as far as the troubled times now and war all over the place going on, how does that affect these kids' choices at all?
I'm sure it's something that all of our young men and women think about. It is the reality of our career field, but that's what they're training for, and that's what they're building towards as part of their West Point education, is that they will be leading America's sons and daughters, sometimes in harm's way. And we do have troops out there, you know, in the Middle East right now, in Eastern Europe, on the frontier of freedom, standing ready in case they're called upon.
Now, the game is obviously secondary, but it's still very important.
Very important.
How important is it to these guys?
I think, you know, for the cadets and the midshipmen playing, I mean, this is the season right here.
This is what they play for.
This is just so inherent in our culture. At West Point, everything is beat Navy, and, you know, that is just symbolic of the excellence we expect in everything, the discipline, the perseverance. But this game really is, there's a reason it's the final game of the season for Army and Navy, is, you know, this is what they've been building towards. And our seniors, you know, to win the Navy game as a West Point senior, I mean, that is, there's nothing better than that right
now,
there.
Now, is there any reward for the win? Maybe like getting to sleep till noon the next day or anything like that, or a couple of days off, or how does that work? Do you have any juice over there or what?
I'm not at liberty to make any promises. historically, it's usually, you know, you come back, especially this year, if and when Army wins, the Commander-in-Chief trophy comes back to West Point. So it really does raise the mood across the academy.
We'll talk a little bit about what your week, all these leading up to this, has been like. I'm sure you got a million requests, tickets, that kind of stuff. And what are you looking forward to the most besides a win?
More than anything, I love seeing it all come together when we get to game day. You know, obviously, we've been going through our football season, but our last game was 2 weeks ago. So the last 2 weeks has been 24/7 preparation for this. And so really at kickoff on Saturday, it's just going to be a great feeling to know that all the hard work has come to this moment, and it's time to watch the game.
Game day, ESPN coming to Gillette Stadium tomorrow. Bill Belichick is going to pick the game. What if he picks against you? How are you going to feel about that?
You know he is. He's a Navy guy.
I know.
You said it so I don't have to. I mean, we love Coach Belichick, and we're thrilled to have him.
The way his year's going, you hope he picks Navy.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get me in trouble. I'm not going to comment on that one. But, yeah, no, we're thrilled to have him there. We're thrilled to be out there on game day. And whatever Coach picks, I will be picking Army. I think we got a great shot at this year. We got a great team. And I just saw them going down, getting on the buses over the practice field. They are ready. They want this.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Colonel Terry Kelly, thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you for your service, and thanks for taking the time to join
us. Yeah, absolutely. That was pretty cool.
This was fun.
I'm glad I attacked you.
Yeah, of course.
I said to Pepe, he's going to say yes, I'll kick my ass.
Thank you.
And I'm happy for the yes.
All right, there he is. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff there.
Thank you, sir.
It's great to just hear that perspective. And unbelievable, like, again, how that process works.
It's crazy. You know, it's funny.
Here's an envelope with your fate in it.
Yeah, we saw him.
Like, crazy.
We saw him standing over there in fatigues. I said, all right, I don't know who you are, but you want to come on the radio? Turned out he was a rock star.
Yeah, he looks a lot tougher than us. Let's get him on the radio.
That's why I was like 5 feet away when I said, will you come on the radio with me, please, sir?
You sounded just like the Jerky Boys.
Thank you. I got my shoe and my good pen.
Lieutenant Colonel Terry Kelly,
Public
West
Affairs
Point
Officer.
PR.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Yep. All right, guys, wrapping things up here.
I'm not going anywhere.
We got a couple minutes. I'm going to hang out because I hear this free lunch.
Duh. That's all I came for. I didn't know I was going to have to talk.
Any idea what they're serving?
I hope it's like not military grub. Like,
look, Gronk is right behind us.
Oh, man, we got blown off by Gronk. Jeez, we're the only local guy here.
I was going to give him a Guy and Lady Barrel cigar, but
give him one anyway.
Yeah, why not? So, again, wrapping things up here, guys, pretty excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, this is cool, Pep. I really appreciate it.
Jeff, do you have a lean?
My lean was Army, but you know what? The whole world's on Army, so let's go Navy.
Because you know you want to go with Belichick, don't you? Because you know Belichick's picking the midshipmen.
Belichick's got a one-game winning streak.
All right, fair enough.
I might do like I did in Vegas, bet draw.
How successful was that in Vegas?
Oh, it worked out great.
I forget what that was. That was a Mayweather fight, was it not?
I don't know. I got screwed on one of them. Remember, it should have been a draw.
It should have been a draw. You did get screwed.
I almost got shot. Other than that, it was a great day. Wish I had Lieutenant Colonel Kelly there then. He could have chopped him for me.
He would have fought your battles. All right, so Gillette Stadium tomorrow. We're all excited. It's going to be. It's not going to be that cold. It should be nice.
Oh, 50's nice.
And
45, I go home.
Sellout crowd. It's going to be a ruckus crowd because it is loud. When we were there in Philadelphia with the Link, it was very loud. I mean, the
snowing
place was crazy.
Ridiculous, yeah. A little warmer tomorrow. I can wear shorts.
I doubt that.
For $10, I will.
$10? All right. Let's thank Jimmy Shapiro for setting this all up
Jimmy!
For us. Craig Larson, the PD of Sports Map Radio.
Craigie!
Ron Culver running Rock and Roll Control in Houston.
Ronnie!
Thank you so much. Are you done?
Hello, are you done?
I don't know if there's anybody else we have to thank. We have to, of course,
thank me.
USAA for sponsoring this thing and putting it on. And I know Gronk is behind us. I still don't think they'll let him into USAA. I don't think they're going to let him do it.
Not yet.
I don't think they're going to let him do it. Well, the game should be fun tomorrow. We will be there and, you know, very excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is awesome. Thank you.
And I'm going over.
You are. Then I'm going under.
All right. He's Jeff Dawson. He's Mark Linehan. I'm Anthony Pepe. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Special edition of the Diehards. Enjoy the 124th installment of America's Game tomorrow at Gillette Stadium, 3 p.m. start on CBS. It is Army Navy.
See ya.
Thank you, everybody. Be safe.